Blog Talk Radio.
I appreciate your resistance, shawty. I wouldn't fuck with me even. All of me, that is. Let's go.
Hey girl, I like what you got on. How about you take it off? It's just you and me, don't be shy. Baby, show me what you're working with. Damn, you're so fine. I never seen a body so divine. What you waiting on? Come and get it. Baby, I just want a little bit. Better yet, take all of me. All of me. Cause I just wanna give you my all. So can you take all? Take it, and how I wasn't ready, baby, I think you're mistaken. Cause you're over there, I'm over here, now you're looking scared. Watch it disappear, told you I'ma come correct. And I ain't even break a sweat, girl, I ain't even finished yet. Can you take all of me? All of me. Cause I just wanna give you my all. So can you?
Love, she need, but a brother really just can't give in. But that's it, what she bring, got me thinking I can reconsider. Got me thinking she can be my missus. Got me thinking that I need to stop tripping. Smoke and talk about our pain, drink it till we end up feeling. What's rough for is I like her when I like her. She just like the fact, cause that like factor can't fight back, but she loves more.
She loves more.
And she loves hard when she does so when I'm on and off. Cause the last time I said the last time to my old flame was a false alarm. I know, I'm not the best. I'm monogamy, but be an optimist and let God protect. As far as having you, give me half of you. He can have the rest.
He can have the rest.
No promises. Believe it's all just game, girl. Cause if I go inside that, I bet
can
you go
you
insane, girl.
All of me.
Work.
AKA Young Goldie.
So I'ma give it all.
Would like to show gratitude to you, the listener, for tuning in to Playboy Diaries.
So I'ma give it all.
Yeah.
I'm your narrator. DJ Scream signing out until next time.
Stack it on top now. You, shawty. Just you.
So I'ma give it all.
And we out of here.
Alone, every night alone, why am I alone? I know that you want me to, am I wrong? Tell me that I'm wrong, tell me I deserve all the pain that you put me through. Oh.
Calling my bluff, baby.
tell her that I need her. Guess I should just stay where I belong. Cause once you make it back to your happy home, well, I'm alone. Every night alone, why am I alone? I don't know what you want me to do. Am I wrong? Tell me that I'm wrong. Tell me I deserve all the pain that you put me through. Oh. Remind me of my dream. Maybe I'd be better on the run. Double vision playing all week. It seems like a game of survival. Why am I dying for a title? Is it even worth it? When I just end up alone, every night alone. Why am I alone? I know that you want me to. Am I wrong? I deserve all the pain that you put me through. Oh. I'm not playing.
stop, it's green light. Now you calling me special when you know I can't have you. When I'm under the next one, oh, now you want me to graduate. Oh, do you mean to keep on making me bleed? Time has turned into a dream. If you're seductive to me, what am I feeling? Cause I thought it was over. Got me thinking my feelings over. You keep doing it over and over. Keep calling me back. I'm just trying to get closer. You're pulling me closer and closer. For me, you're like over and over. Cause you keep calling me back. La 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 la. Why you keep calling me back? I'd rather we never pick up, but can we slip up and mix up sometimes? Say it, don't mean it, just want it when it's convenient. Am I crazy for waiting on my slide? Now you calling me special when you know I can't have you. When I'm on to the next one, oh, now you won't get aggressive. Oh, do you mean to keep on making me deep? Time has turned into a dream. If you're seductive to me, what am I feeling? Cause I thought it was over. Got me thinking my feelings over. You keep doing it over and over. You keep calling me back. I'm just trying to get closer. You're pulling me closer and closer. For me, you're like over and over. Cause you keep calling me back. La 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 la. You walking on a 10 line. We've been through it like 10 times. I'ma put you in line. Yeah, I had you on an incline. Now I don't even wanna reply. I'ma have to decline. Yeah. You show me I don't wanna rewind. Yeah. No, you a 10, but that attitude ain't fine.
Much to find, except the sun in my face, and it feels right. Had gotten used to the silence of the night. The thought of your arms, I'm already safe. Thought I had done it all, but I got some grace. Even a bit of time, and space, reset on my heart. Brand new slate. You make me feel like I can love again. You make me feel like I can love again. Ain't no redemption tasted oh so sweet. Leap of faith and I landed on up in the air, it's so easy to breathe. Double my hopes and gave them back to me. You make me feel like I can love again. You make me feel like I can love again. You make me feel.
Good evening. Good evening, good evening. Hopefully you can hear me. Hopefully it's not too low. However, oh, that's weird. Okay, there we are. I was like trying to figure out where that sound level was. All right. Well, good people, welcome. Welcome, one and all. Welcome to War Council. War Council is an egalitarian conscious community panel discussion that dialogues around current events and community issues. We talk, we debate, we discuss, but more importantly, let these words be a parable for you to understand, for you to take an example. You know, your opinions are your own. However, this is not for anything to be used as professional advice and or help. This is a discussion between adults. It should be treated as such. And you have a front row seat to an incredible discussion between brilliant intellects and super creative people. And so that being said, you might learn something, you might gain something, and we can also gain from you. So that being said, let's get to it. Let me open up these mics quick, fast, in a hurry. Hold on. So I'm going to go to one of my besties from Philly, the Purple Negro, a.k.a. Danielle. Danielle, are you there?
Hey, hey. Good evening, good people. I'm here.
Am I low? I think I'm low. Am I low?
No, you sound fine.
Okay, yeah. You know, I got the setup going. You know, got the setup going. I was like, it broadcasts really, really clear. But I'd be like worried, so I'll be turning it down. Like, okay, let me turn this down a little bit. All right, so we got Danielle here. Super fantastic. And we gonna go to our station manager, the bearded one, Mr. Van Metals. Mr. Van Metals, are you there?
Hey, what's going on, family? I am here.
What's happening?
Thanks for having me. What's happening,
that's
bro? What's happening? Hey, La Pearl of Negra.
What's happening?
Hey, what's happening? All right, so we super rocking. So we're going to go from you to great state of Virginia. Of course, the lipped one, Miss Lisa Lips. How are you, beautiful?
I'm good. How are you guys? Hey, everybody.
Hey, Diva.
All right.
What's up, Bobby?
Now, what's going on? All right. I suck at reading this, so I'm going to go area 912. Who master speaking?
A mother of dragons.
Hey, what's happening? What's going on?
All right. It's going.
M-O-D.
How y'all doing?
In the building.
Good.
Hey.
In the building. From the great state of Atlanta. Mother of Dragons. And then, of course, one of my favorite people in the world, Mr. Shelby. I'm messing up when I'm messing up. Daoud, how are you?
I'm fine, bro. How are you? What's up, everybody?
What's going on, Greg?
All is well. You're making my smooth.
All right, we know we got some. All right. I know we got some stragglers. So I'm about to go get. Huh?
I said, who else supposed to be here?
Wendell.
Oh,
you gotta have
Wendell, that's right, my bad.
You got to have everybody in the joint. Hold on. Okay. We're supposed to have a couple special guests, so I have to go get a few people. Bring them in, but in the meantime, why did that cut off? That's terrible. All right, in the meantime, while I go gather Wendell,
How's everybody's day been? Everybody been rocking?
Good, good.
Yeah, it's been a good day.
So far, so good, bro.
It's going.
Yeah, that's good. Man, as long as we got everybody where we need to be, it's always a grandiose thing. Cannot be any better. I do not understand why I can't type numbers for the life of me. I can type everything else real good. Can't type numbers. Suck at it. All right, so we're going to get into it as soon as I get them in the thing. Hold on for a second. Let me just... Waddell, you there?
I am here.
All right. Well, that's Quorum. Let's go. Quorum, let's go. All right. Quorum, let's go. So, we got it. Got a couple of people there. They'll be calling in, or they'll hit me in the back channel. I'll bring them in afterwards. But let's get into this whole thing. You know, we talk about a lot of things on the council here. We do a lot of good conversation. We talk about a lot of great things. But let's talk about this toxic, femininity, right? So let me begin starting off by utilizing what they consider to be the most basic definition of it, which is a social science that describes the now repressive type of ideas about the female gender role that defines femininity as an exaggerated femininity, holding on, embracing traditional feminine attributes like empathy, passivity, patience, and tenderness in order to prioritize caring for others to the detriment of their own health while minimizing their own struggles. They have an example here. It's from the Urban Dictionary. It says, she always puts her husband's feelings first and is really taking a toll on her mental health. I told her she could tell him that he also has to change his attitude to save their relationship, but she called me a cold woman for even suggesting that. Toxic femininity at its finest, right? The other definition I had, which is it talks about toxic masculinity and toxic femininity appear to be two sides of the same coin, but power is the undercurrent that presses men to play an aggressive, violent, intimidating, and sexually dominant role in order to stay in power, and women seek to please those in power in order to avoid punishment and pain. Both toxic masculinity and toxic femininity are performed by men and women to attempt to keep their value in society. Both tell men and women that their worth, value, and validity as men and women is conditioned upon their adherence to these roles. These social constructs reinforce women's submissive behavior and enable men by claiming that violence is to be accepted. Like toxic masculinity, toxic femininity is made up of a myriad of culture-specific rules. However, through research and references in pop culture, the following components have emerged. One, docile, the notion that women must be ready to accept control or instruction. Two, hyperfemininity involves a strict adherence to stereotypes of feminine behavior. Three, policing of femininity and others involves oppressing others to emulate the behaviors that are seen as feminine. Four, sabotaging others by abusing traditionally feminine qualities refers to the idea that all of women compete for male attention and recognition. So I'm just laying the groundwork so we can talk about it. So what I'm interested in finding out is what you guys think it is before we get into the discussion. So we got the groundwork done. We're putting the you know, the foundation in before we start to build this house. So who would like to go first?
I did some digging myself, and I came across a more towards the subject that we were discussing earlier, more on the nose kind of a definition. It says it's a set of beliefs held by unscrupulous women that are used to oppress other people's opinions in order to control the narrative.
Ooh. Wait, hold on. I'm going to have to put that in the parking lot. That sounds good right there. Hold on. Let me throw this in the parking lot real quick. I'm going to need you to spin the block and tell me what that is. One more game.
It's a set of beliefs held by unscrupulous women that are used to oppress other people's opinions in order to control the narrative.
Mm. Wow.
And then they share like 8 different toxic traits that are seen in this type of way.
Okay. So what are those traits?
It says the woman's opinion, her feelings and loud emotions outweigh the facts.
Okay.
The second is the victim. All women are victims even if they're not, because they share everyone's mistakes, no matter whose fault it may be.
Wow.
The third trait is sexual harassment. And the third trait is sexual harassment. Since a woman's natural curves are idealized by media, any unwanted attention is harassment. So it's up to men to know or else be accused of harassment without proof.
Wow.
Then the fourth trait is hypergamy. Hypergamy is the act of marrying or forming a sexual relationship with a person of superior sociological, economical, or educational background. Then they use the "I deserve more." Women should be given status and wealth for being a woman instead of earning it and showing competence in an area of expertise.
Oh, that's serious.
Then there's reverse sexism, the act of being non-sexist by blaming the other sex for their failing instead of looking inward and growing. Then number 7 is false patronage, using others to bolster their own prominence, even if they consider them a lower class. And then the final one is expectations.
Wow.
Putting expectations on others that they do not put on themselves. They deserve more and all others deserve less. Those were the traits of that form of toxicity, toxic femininity.
Oh, wow. So good people, what do y'all think about that?
There is some weight to that, but I also feel like toxic femininity is witnessed, is an aspect that if that woman has saw that in a generational sense, she saw her grandmother be that way, she saw her mother be that way, it's going to pass down. And usually, typically, those type of women, they usually look for a more emasculated man, or someone they feel like they can emasculate. And most of all, they have not done the work on themselves, so they will always victimize themselves in situations, always blame others for being narcissistic, always feel like that the world doesn't see their point of view or narrative, that it's their fault. That's it.
All right, so gentlemen, I'm gonna go to Van and then Wendell, then you, Devil. So Van, your opinion, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel there's a great level of truth to what she's saying. You know, I've seen it firsthand. And it's rather sad. And I was talking to a young lady at work today, and she, as a matter of fact, said that she can't stand those kind of women. And she's not a feminist, which was striking to me. but she's very adamant about not being a feminist, and those toxic women definitely do exist. And I agree, man. I've seen them. I've heard them. I've listened to them. And I've tried to stay clear of them.
Okay. All right. So, Wendell, your opinion.
I thought that entire list was profound and definitely well articulated. Anytime when it is acceptable or deemed to be acceptable to place the onus for one's personal state or lot in life anywhere other than at their own feet, that has the tendency to be toxic. And so the common theme that I heard, you know, through all of those eight categories, it was just that, a lack of onus and accountability for one's own part in one's own life. You know, everything is, you know, the victim thing, you know, I deserve what I can't do for myself, or I can say I do it for myself, but instead of me wanting to do it for myself, I want you to do it for me as an expression of your interest in me. All of these, there's a lot of different, expectations that are not only unrealistic, but unwarranted and unsustainable if you indeed want to have functional relationships, you know, between men and women. If you just want someone that you can control with your emotions, which is what it all boils down to, you know, creating a situation where a woman can control, coerce, or manipulate, you know, another person's decision making with their emotions or their responses, you know, their reactions, all of that is absolutely, absolutely toxic.
Mm. All right, so I'm going to fly from you over to you, Dawood.
I listened to the list. The one that I disagree with is the hyper part, but everything else I agree with. And the reason why I disagree that the hypergamy part of it is toxic is because that's like a natural thing. Like, I think we all, in some way, shape, or form, are looking for somebody that either are financially, socioeconomically, we call a come up. And that's natural. And for us to act like that is not natural, I think is unreal. So I don't think that's necessarily toxic. I think it's toxic when you try to convince the person that you're about them, and, you know, in reality, you're just using them to get to some place that you need to go. That's toxic. But the act itself is not toxic. It's natural. So that's the only part of the list that I disagree with. But everything else I think is spot on. I happened to see a conversation today where one of my younger brothers had put up the word misandry. And he put up the definition. Mm-hmm. And you should have seen the woman that came out of nowhere. There's no such thing as this. This left misogyny in the face and all sort of stuff. And I'm like, wow. So you guys are convinced that there's no such thing, that everything is just everything that Lisa was reading was encapsulated in those comments. And I think that is very real. But I think that toxic femininity also is, quite frankly, when a woman may use her womanly charm or whatever to get something, but is not genuinely who they say they are or saying what they say, not behind what they're saying. So in other words, like, you know what I mean? Like, they use their womanly charm to get certain things and convince a person that they're into them or with them, and they never really was. Like, we saw this with the DJ Envy situation where his lady was saying that she was faking orgasms for 10 years. 10 years. Like, that's going to get swept under the rug eventually, but goddamn, 10 years. So to me, that's the only addition that I would add to the list, but everything else I think I agree with.
Yeah, I meant to add that DJ Envy on there, but I'm going to go from you and we'll go to Danielle, because we haven't heard from you.
I think from the women that I have known in my lifetime, especially in my family, there was a lot of that feminine toxicity. And I, from what I've seen, it is based and rooted in selfishness, manipulation, and close-mindedness. These women do not see themselves as being wrong. They do play victim a lot, especially when they are told, no, it's something wrong, something totally wrong with telling them. No, I'm not a toxic woman. I have never been. So a lot of it I couldn't understand, but just from what I've seen, and I agree with what everybody is saying here, it's really, really sad. But all of those traits, they do display. Now, as far as Dawood, your comment, yeah, I don't think it's so much we're looking for a come up. I don't think that's the mindset for some people. I think it's just that we don't want someone that we have to really, really work just as hard as we are working on ourselves. We want somebody that is more so more stable, where we can build from there. Not so much a, when you say a come up, to me it sounds like a gold digging type thing. I get what you're saying, but I don't like that term. Respectfully, I don't like that term. But yeah, I think we want someone that is doing either just as well or better. We don't want to grab somebody and pull them into our lives and have to continue to struggle as much as we are doing on our own.
Right. I agree with you. And that's why I say it's natural. I totally agree with you.
Okay.
To make that a toxic trait is incorrect to me, because it's natural.
Yeah. It is, and it's something that we are innately wanting. It's human nature to want that, want better, because happiness is our birthright. So we are naturally going to strive to do better, and want to have someone that's going to help us move forward and not keep us stagnated or be complacent and be comfortable and smug where we are. We want someone to encourage us, to inspire us. But that toxic femininity, it's sickening. It is so selfish and so one-sided. I honestly didn't see how my sisters got along in this world. They stayed in very volatile relationships because of the men that they dealt with. And, yeah, they looked for pussies, pretty much. You know, men that they could overtalk, control, tell what to do all the time, and men that didn't want to upset the balance in this so-called delicate relationship. So they didn't speak up much. And I went exactly for the opposite. No, I wanted men like that. I didn't want to deal with, because I knew I would, from being brought up in that type of environment, I knew I would have broke them. And that's not what I wanted in my life. I needed someone that could stand on his own 2 feet, that would check my ass from time to time. But mine turned out to be a really, he was a very toxic male.
You
he
went
was a man,
too far the other
that,
direction.
But, huh?
You went too far the other direction.
Oh, honey, you talking about narcissists? He put the narc in narcissism. yeah, that's pretty much my take on this toxic femininity. I have females that I'm friends with that is like that, and I just look at them like, when shit goes awry in your life, don't come crying to me, because you know you're wrong. It's not like these women don't know that they are wrong, but they have to have control of every aspect of their life. And they will not admit that they are wrong. They refuse to because, God forbid, their little, you know, their little facade of how they really are, you know, comes down. They're exposed.
All right.
A lot of these women are weak-minded, and they are afraid. So that's pretty much
it. This is why I'm a curtail because we're going to get into the main thing right here. But when we're talking about certain things, the one thing I wanted to throw in here, on top of that, we're going to frame this and we're going to put in the parking lot coming back to it, right? Because a lot of times when men are emotional or express themselves or certain things, and women don't like that. Like I've heard it in my relationships where they say, you're too sensitive, you know, you're too open, you're such and such, you know. And so I saw this thing that said that men cry, men break down, men get anxiety, men have emotions, men can feel insecure, men do get abused, men have mental illnesses. It's not unmanly to struggle. And it says, let's support men, let's encourage men. Don't belittle or silence men. Men struggle too. Now, I didn't put it on my thing because I kind of knew what kind of energy it would produce instead of where I wanted to have a good, positive conversation. Somebody would say, oh, that dude sounds like a pussy or this, anything else that's going on. So I'm using this to use it as a jump-off point into the Amber Heard and the Johnny Depp trial of what's going on, right? So we understand that, number one, when the allegations first came out about Johnny Depp, that he was abusive towards Amber Heard, right, and that he did all this stuff, immediately Disney cut him off from his payday for the Pirates, you know, the Pirates of the Caribbean Part 6. Basically, they made it so that it was impossible for him to get work because of the allegations of him being a woman beater. Now, as we got into the trial, we discover it is the complete opposite. And even while he's going to court, she's mocking him by dressing him. Whenever he takes a drink, she takes a drink. She's mirroring him. She's doing all this. And you're hearing the tape where literally she broke this man's nose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then basically telling him that he's not in pain, he's this or that, and that it's not anything that's going on. And he's trying to get away from her. And she's like, you'll never get away from me. All right? So I'm going to put that out there first. And I want your opinions on that portion of what's happening as we've already framed the legwork on it. So let's start with this. Nessie, the wiener came in. So I don't know if she's able to talk, but I opened her mic anyway.
Yes.
All right, Zuina, you
I'm
there?
I'm here. Good evening, everybody.
Okay.
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, sis.
All right, so.
Hey.
So,
hey, Zuina.
I'm going to start with Mother of Dragons because she just, you know, we haven't heard her in a long time. So, Mother of Dragons, what's your opinion?
That is the case where two people who probably didn't need to be together trauma bonded. And when they trauma, you know, and because based on his, and he also, from what I understand, he had his mother was, you know, he saw it from an earlier childhood experiences. He dealt with volatile women. So it was, I guess he probably thought that in some way he could fix her. And she could not be fixed. She was a broken woman way before she met him. But two people like that can be very, it's like a fire, and what happened between them basically was that they both were immature, and drugs was involved, and a lot of things that shouldn't have happened, you know. And we learned behind closed doors that this is very toxic. That's it.
Okay, so we're going to keep that. It's very toxic. Wendell.
Give me the question one more time, man, because I'm still wrapping my head around it, because I'm thinking back to a, you know, just a audio recording that of Johnny and Amber and just the gaslighting and everything that she was doing there. So I want to make sure that I'm on the right path here with the question that you're asking, bro.
I mean, no, well, go from there. Start from there. That'd be fine.
Okay. I mean, Okay, so I have
not been following the trial, but I am familiar with certain aspects of their relationship, and there's one particular, you know, phone call that that I saw a video recording of, and it was her blaming him for her getting violent with him because he would leave the room when she's yelling at him and hitting him, and saying that you participated because you hit me back. It's like, what? How was that not toxic? How was that okay? How can you even kind of justify that, and make it seem like that gives you a leg to stand on? You know, it's really it. I can't really. It boggles my mind, man. It boggles my mind just thinking about how that, as an application of toxicity, is not so blatantly obvious that any human being, regardless of if you're a man or a woman, can look at that and not see that that's not okay. You know what I'm saying? You know, why is it even a conversation to say that certain things that are being done, human being to human being? I mean, if it is not okay for, you know, for a man to do this to you, so why in the world is it even a conversation for you about whether or not it's acceptable, appropriate, legal, or should be treated with any less degree of severity that you as a woman feel like you can do this to a man, but then still expect the protections of the society?
but literally, if we think about it and we look at the statistics of domestic violence towards men, there are a lot. The numbers of domestic violence towards men, you know, most of it goes unreported. And then when it is reported, the men, when they go to file at a police station or tell someone, it's mainly looked at as if their manhood is in question for allowing that person to do anything.
Yeah, you get laughed out. You get laughed out of the room.
I mean,
so yeah. You
personally,
myself.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It just my incredulity, you know, at it is just it's underscored by how widely accepted it is and how it's not decried. I agree with you. Men who even state that, you know, that a woman hit them are castigated, and immediately viewed as less than men, as opposed to being viewed as victims of assault. So the whole blame the victim, you know, trope that was, you know, that seems to only apply to, you know, to women. Like, how are you going to blame a woman for getting hit by a man, even though she hit him and she instigated the whole thing? You just can't hit a woman. But that logic does not apply. You know, the level of cognitive dissonance and willful blindness is something that seems like it should be a no-brainer, is astounding to me.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go from you. I'm actually gonna go back. I want Dawood, because Dawood teaches a domestic violence class, so I really want his opinion to weigh in on this. So Dawood, mm-hmm. Your opinion on women hitting men.
Well, if you listen to this show and you swing on the side of fighting against misogyny and things like that, I don't want you to think that this is a show where we're trying to act like your side doesn't exist. But the true reality is the other side does exist. Not to the greater extent that with men that hit women, of course, but it does exist. And when it does happen, men most likely think that they have no out, no legitimate out, because Amber Heard said at that trial, "Babe, I'm a woman. Nobody's going to believe you." You can look that up. That's what that woman said to him. So this is a white woman that said this because she believes that the society is 1,000% behind her, and she's right. Because it had to come to this level for him to even, this is a defamation suit. This ain't a divorce. So it had to come to this level for anybody to even pay attention to it. That woman still works. She's still in Aquaman 1, still shooting Aquaman 2. And it's like nothing ever happened. And Disney is not even considering punishing her for what went down, because to them, it's just, you know, it's a woman. Like, why should we care? So for me, when I look at the whole Amber Heard, Johnny Depp situation, what I look at is, here's a situation where a guy was practicing his craft and got great at his craft. And we all as men will, whether you want to or whether you don't want to, bear witness on the line, that a lot of times as you're practicing your craft and you come up, you have an ideal woman that you want to be with. And she's beautiful and she's this and all the men like her and this, that, and the next thing. Amber Heard became that dream girl for him, but it turned into a nightmare. And so for me, what I think is that this is one of the greatest experiences, because in the midst of this whole thing, I think that chick took like a piece of his finger off and the whole nine yards. Like, you cannot even plumb the depths of atrocity of this situation, and nobody is exaggerating. So for me, I just think that really, when you go through something like this as a man, you got to learn from it, because if you do it again and again and again, it's a cycle, and that's not them anymore, it's you. But it's very real.
Right. Right. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm going to come back to you, Lisa Lips. I want your opinion on it.
I think the whole situation, I agree with what mostly everybody has said. She has manipulated him to the point where anything he does is going to be wrong no matter what he does. If he hits her back, then he's being abusive. If he doesn't hit her back, he's being weak. If she can get away with murder with what she's doing, then that's fine. If he calls her on anything, he's being oppressive. There's no way for him to be right in their situation, because she has manipulated. And I'm quite sure that she didn't come into the relationship in the way that she's acting now. I'm sure that she built trust with him so that when she started this journey in the relationship, he felt like it was something he was doing that made her feel that way. So she's been bending him out of shape for a long time.
All right. And then I was banned because you know why.
Oh, boy. Wow. You know, when I started watching this thing and I started listening, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, quite honestly. But then I went back to where I was with one of the mothers of my children, and how abusive that relationship was. And I was, you know, one of those men who refused to do anything about the situation because I didn't want to be looked at as one of those men. You're a punk. You know, you can't do nothing about it. So what I did was is not be her punching bag and let her know, hey, look, my mama told me if you want to put your hands on me, I should knock you out, and that's what I'm going to do. Right? But for her to act this way, I heard the recording, and I was appalled that she took her level of superiority as a woman over him and using the fact that no one is going to believe you. They're going to be behind me. And Wendell said it, I'm sorry, Dawu said it, society is behind her. And the system is behind
yep.
her.
Yep.
You know, this man is missing part of his finger because of her. And
right.
And he's on trial, and they asked him, you know, have you damaged some furniture? Heard you damaged some furniture in a hotel room. He responded, he said, yeah, I've been known to assault a couch or two. And I'm like, why is that even a question after you've heard what she's done? Would you see what she is capable of?
Right. And that's the day his mother died, let the record show.
Right. Right. Man, and I'm just sitting up here like, so nobody is going to stand up for him as a man and say that he was wronged. That's what pisses me off.
Well, all right, so we're joined. We have J-Rob just came in the room. J-Rob, what's good?
Yo, what's up, bro?
Hello.
Is he here?
Yeah, I'm at work, so you gotta mute me, bro.
Yeah, he just said he can't talk. He's at work.
Oh,
okay, my bad. Sorry. We're working late night. So we're going to round out with you before we move into the next segment. And then we're going to do a quote real quick. Facial identifier. Sincere is here too, but I think he's practicing. But if Sincere, if you want to speak, raise your hand, just press 1. So, Zelina, what's your opinion?
Well, I agree. What everyone is saying tonight, it seems like you want to say that a woman that would do something like that is unstable, but it also seems like the relationship probably gradually got to this state by there being a history of like smaller or larger infractions that we probably will never hear about just because of the length of time they've been together and everything. But I agree with what Dan said. It's unfortunate that the relationship is so volatile that walking away isn't the only answer. It's like he had to defend himself as a person against these allegations from a person that was doing that. I know a lot of people, I know a few men who have been stabbed, who have been hit with cars by females, who have been, you know, hurt really badly in domestic situations, and it never really seems like the situation ends out in their favor, no matter how badly they were hurt. And I do think that is an unfortunate oversight when we approach the idea of domestic violence, because I don't think anyone is being completely protected, and to be believed is a smaller part of what recovering or coming out of that is, you know, an important part of what a person needs leaving that situation. They need to be believed, they need to be understood, and they need to be able to cut free that, you know, like one of the other callers said, that soul tie, or that, you know, that trauma bond that you might have developed over time before it got to a place where it was this rancidly toxic, because this is far beyond anything that I can understand a person. And it's like the question that you find a lot of times with females is everyone asks, like, why don't you walk away? You know, why didn't you just leave when it got that bad? And, I think that's a question that I would love to ask in all of these situations.
All right, wow. So this is good. So here's my question to y'all. So if we framed it like this, we understand that he's doing a defamation trial. He's trying to defend his honor, right? And we talked about the slap briefly on the Marvel versus DC show, but let me just skip ahead. Do you think Jada is toxic? Is toxic, practicing toxic femininity in all its forms and things, or do you think that she is that and a malignant narcissist? So I'm gonna think she's just toxic, or do you think she's malignant as a narcissist? You know, my personal opinion, I think she's toxic. I think she's a narcissist. I think that she wants to punish Will every chance she gets, and she's gonna make sure of it. And literally, you know, her response after all of this has been horrible, absolutely horrible, and like literally like. Mm-hmm. I can understand why Will wanted to go into an institution, because I don't think he understands what's going on. So,
I think she is absolutely toxic. I think she is absolutely toxic. Yes, she is a narcissist, and I think because Will has kind of has control issues where he needs to feel like he is in control of everything by reacting the way he does. He reacts. He doesn't act. He reacts to her actions and her the way that she talks and deals with people. And I don't think anything is ever going to change. Not that she has ever been anybody but herself. I do believe like she needs to be redeemed, because she went into the relationship and took it to the level that he wanted to be as far as marriage, because she did not want to be married. She wanted to stay in that open, that free relationship. She didn't want to do the traditional thing. And I think she has held that against him since they have gotten married. She was more comfortable
I want you.
Go ahead.
No, finish your thought. Finish your thought.
No, I think she just has held that against him. She was more comfortable with accepting the fact that he had a child before them. He was already in a relationship before them, and that broke off, and that was good enough for her, and she would have continued to be in a relationship with him. But she got pushed into being married, and she feels like, I have to be redeemed for giving him all of me. And that's why she does what she does to him.
All right, so I'm gonna pause you right there. Gentlemen, I need one of y'all to hop in on this. Your opinion.
On who, Jada?
Yeah, mm-hmm. on the aftermath. Do you feel she's toxic, toxic feminine, you know, feminine, or do you feel she's a malignant narcissist?
I think that it's not that easy, bro. I really do. I think that's mm-hmm. What Flash would say, an oversimplification. I think that Will Smith told us in his book that he was chasing his grandmother's love for the rest of his life. That's what that man told us. So for him to go up and slap Chris Rock like that is really consistent with what he told us in that book. Is she, you know, everything that we're saying that she is? Probably. But the behavior only gets more enabled by the partner that you choose. And she chose a partner, like Danielle said earlier. She chose a vagina with a clitoris, by the way. And you know what I'm saying? But the reality of it is,
wait, we got
because you know,
if I see another video with dudes that don't know where the clitoris is, I just want to be the person that slaps somebody.
Bruh, I was so
embarrassed.
It'd be a lot harder.
So embarrassed.
Oh my god.
I was talking to somebody about that today. Just today, I was like, damn.
I was like, who are these men? Who are they?
There's a lot of them, too. Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Do you guys think that's actually real? Because I posted that video a while ago, and I want to. Are there actually men out there that don't know the location of the clitoris?
Listen, they're Trump supporters.
You know what I'm
going to
say?
Yes. I like the answer to that, yes.
Yo, but you know what I'm going to say, though? Yes. I'm going to say that there shouldn't be, but more likely than not, there is. But, I mean, with pornography, you're telling me you don't know what a clitoris is? With you watching videos of women saying, I don't know, I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
Okay. Before
I really don't.
Before we get hijacked and get off track, you said it was an oversimplification. So let me come back to Mother of Dragons. In your opinion, what do you think it is with Jada in this fallout?
I wasn't saying that.
I definitely think it's both.
Bad. I'm sorry. Finish.
My bad.
My Blood of Dragons, hold on, because he wasn't finished making his point. All right, so go ahead.
No disrespect to her at all. You know, I want to hear what she got to say, but I'm just saying that I guess what I was saying at the end of the day is that she chose a guy that's consistent with how she wanted to be. And, you know, this whole idea that she's treating him like this because she's chasing Tupac is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. That shit has nothing to do with Tupac. That has everything to do with the way she wanted to operate in her ideal relationship. She found the ideal person, and she's acting it out. And for us mm-hmm. to, like, brand her as this person that she is, to me, you need – it's almost like a virus. A virus cannot live if it doesn't have a host, right? So
right.
this person here wanted to practice those behaviors, and she found the perfect person to practice it with. You can say all you want to about Tupac, and her daughter wrote a letter to Tupac, but if Tupac was alive, I think that she would still choose Will Smith. I really do, because her behavior shows you that that's not Tupac kind of behavior. Tupac would have done something really crazy if she had acted towards him like that, and this is how she acts. So she did it towards Will. She did it towards the younger man that was Will Smith's son's friend. Like, this is her pattern of behavior. He just happened to have the perfect personality for the virus to take hold and multiply, unfortunately. So what is the lesson? The lesson is that you as a woman or you as a man, you got to be very damn careful that your behavior does not facilitate abuse. And we're living in a time where people are saying, oh, don't blame the victim, don't blame. And I try not to blame the victim. But goddamn, it takes two in a car accident. It takes two to tangle. And quite frankly, you get into a situation, you should assess yourself. I talked about this on my live today. You should study yourself enough to know if you enable people's bad behaviors. Because all it takes is a little shift from being aggressive to assertive, where you're asserting yourself and saying, no, I will not tolerate this. I will not tolerate that. I know that that's what you're used to, but I won't tolerate this. And it ain't got to be, you know, these other bitches tolerated that, but I'm not gonna, or these other niggas, you understand? You just have to stand up for your boundaries in an assertive but not aggressive tone, and either the person will get in line or they'll leave. But he obviously has not done that. So here it is, we running all of this vitriol and anger on Jada, but in reality, she was looking for the right man to practice that bullshit on, and she found it.
I kind of agree with what you're saying.
All right. Go ahead.
I kind of agree with what Dovu just said, because I've seen accounts from back in the day before Tupac left this earth when she first started seeing Will. And she tried to play him against Will and tried to get him to fight Will because she wanted them mm-hmm. to argue over her. And Will was was not even aware of what she was doing. And Tupac was like, man, I'm not getting into that. You know, me and her are friends.
Right.
We're cool, but that's not where I'm going. Because he
right.
was not going to play that game, but Will would. Will saw Jada and wanted Jada and did what he had to do to have Jada. And she knew because of all of that she could manipulate him. And that's what she's done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mother of Dragons, I'm sorry, we skipped over you. So I'm going to come back to you, Mother of Dragons.
I believe that it is, you know, like many others have said within it, it was her opportunity to be able to control a man, and Will just happens to be the perfect person for that. She saw everything, every characteristic, every trait inside him. And she knew that she could manipulate him down to his very soul. And the only way that I feel like he could probably escape that is if he does leave her. But she said that was not an option too. So she don't want him, but she don't want to get rid of me either. So it, that's very like, it's just a class A manipulation anyway. So, you know, and so he has to get therapy. It's going to be, it's on, if he chooses therapy and a lot of work on himself, because that, you know, Chris Rock wasn't the only man that he slapped, you know what I'm saying? So he definitely internalizes everything that he does, and he takes it out on other people, you know? And they, and he tried to operate an open relationship with her, but he wasn't disrespectful to her, but she was openly disrespectful to him. So it's all about respect. And if you have no respect for a person, why would you require that? Why would that person require anything else from them? That's it.
Well, we definitely have somebody to speak to that open relationship type of thing. Wendell, what's your opinion on that?
So, it's a matter of open relating. That's about ethics and things like that. You know, and having boundaries and agreements in place to manage how you not only interact with your other partners, then, but how you interact with each other and the respect that you have for each other. There's still a, you don't open relate in such a way that disrespects whoever it is that you're in a partnership with, and that is one of the things that I think, you know, they fell flat on, or that they fall short on. You know, it's inauthentic to say that I'm going to consider myself open relating it and doing it in an ethical way, when your behavior clearly shows otherwise. That's not what I consider to be, you know, open relating. That's just you're doing your own thing with the assurance of knowing that the person that you're with is not going anywhere. But that's that is an imbalanced power dynamic, and that's not healthy. So, yeah. I don't think if that's what they're trying to do, they're not doing that well, because they're damaging each other rather than honoring each other and protecting you know, each other. It's imbalanced and it's unhealthy.
All right, so let's go to Edwina.
My opinion is, I feel like I'm an outsider looking in, and I haven't followed the full story of what's going on between them. But I do think that regardless of if they have an open relationship or a closed relationship, I think she too often uses their relationship as a tool to remain relevant, and that causes a great deal of problem, whether that's because toxic femininity or she's a narcissist or she's controlling him, and he just, which obviously you see because you saw the video when he was like, you know, don't put him on social media without his permission. You see signs that they're not, like you said, in agreement. They're not in sync. It doesn't seem like they're on the same page. So for that reason, I think it's an unhealthy relationship, but I'm just on the outside looking in.
All right. Let's go to you, Van.
Well, a lot has already been said. I'm not a major medical clinical analyst, and you know, I'm looking at the outside looking in. In my opinion, I would say that Jada is probably both toxic and narcissistic, to be quite honest. She exhibits traits of both. And Will Smith chose her, right? She didn't actually want to marry him. and he made the decision anyway to move forward. Her family urged her to move forward, and she felt all this pressure. And several many years later, here we are with this relationship that Will Smith has been fighting for amidst the unhappiness of his wife. For what, I don't know. I don't know if it's the social stature that he wanted. He probably could have any woman that he wanted, to be honest. But he chose her because he loves her to an extent that he's willing to sacrifice his life, his career, based on that one instant. So I say she exhibits both traits. She's narcissistic as well as toxic.
Okay, definitely. So I'm looking at it from a different way, because being a person who's been with a person who's kind of like Jada that wants you to regret your actions, I remember, this is my own personal story. When I was a unit director for the Boys and Girls Club, my ex told me, like she had called the club to talk to me, and she said that the director of operations was rude, right? And so it didn't occur to me that, like I was like, so what do you say? He just talks to me this whole kind of way and everything else was going on. So I was like, I went to go talk to him. I was like, yo, she said this. He's like, no, she called. She has to know that you're in a meeting. You can't just come out of meetings, which I really could come out of meetings, especially when you're meeting with the board. So that wasn't something that was going to happen. We had meetings all day, right? And so literally when I went to go do something else, while the board of directors and people are in a meeting, she kicked open the door and handed a letter to my executive director. And she literally felt like she had the right to do that, which, and I ended up with a write-up, right? But they said that they understood because of her behavior, because of the type of things that she would constantly do. Like, she would come to my, like, so here I am, I'm running a unit, and she would come in and immediately start talking crazy to me, or yelling or trying to talk down to me in front of people, which was her way of establishing dominance and not caring for the consequences of repercussions that was going to happen to me because of her behavior. And one time she came out, she drove up onto the property. Like, if you're on Delaware Avenue, like, you have to live in Albany Hills. So you can literally drive your car onto the tarmac in front of the building. And so she drove up and she beat the horn. Right. So everybody knew to come and get me. So I left the gym to go see what she wanted. Right. I left some irresponsible counselors in there, and a kid got his arm broke because she was arguing with me about something stupid. I could have got fired for that. And then when I told her, I said, listen, you can't just come when you feel like coming and just disrupt my day. And she was like, she didn't really care about that because that's what she felt like. That was part for the course. That's, it didn't matter what it was. And then anything that I wanted to do regarding some things was almost like holding you back so that you couldn't do it. So, and a lot of times when I would try to investigate what she was saying, it would cause me more problems to go investigate what she was saying, until I got to the point where I realized that she was just saying stuff just to see if it would get me in trouble. And I had to figure that out. I was like, wait, this is doing this to get me in trouble. But wow. Literally and figuratively, in dealing with a person who had that persona, there was a time where, like, my father had said to me, he was like, listen, she doesn't care about how you feel, what you're feeling. She just wants you to suffer. She just wants you to feel pain. And so it was like this whole thing where she was going out, doing different things. And many of the things that Jada does, I kind of see it from that perspective, because the things that she would do to Will is the same things that happened to me. And so I identify, but, you know, I had a different thing with Will. I never jump off and just slap people for no reason because at her hest. But I understand how much trouble that can cause you, somebody trying to force you to do something, because he thought it was funny until she made that face. And then when he slapped her, she laughed. Right? Did everybody saw that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They played it over again. Yeah.
She actually, her first initial reaction to the joke, she smirked, she giggled a little bit too. But when she saw everybody else laughing about it, now all my feelings are hurt. You know, Will, do you see them laughing at me? Do something. This is the look that she gave him, or this is how he took it. And like I said, Will reacts. He does not act. And that is the downfall, the major downfall of that relationship. He will always react because he needs to have some kind of control that he has to display to her to show her, I got this. I mean, I got this. Don't worry about it.
There's genuine ways that could have handled it, but I mean, you know, when we think about that, I know I have. I can't speak for Van. Has anybody ever experienced this form of toxic femininity or narcissism from a woman?
I've seen it. I mean, I've seen it in within my own family. I've seen it within, you know, relationships, like, you know, couple relationships. And I had a friend that did it to her husband when I was in the military, and she would always go up to the company commander, even when he had deployments, and they can't control if they were on deployments or not, but she would go up to the base commander to say that he shouldn't go on that deployment because he needed to be home to help her take care of kids, which was her job. And so until the point where it destroyed his actual career. And so I think that's the goal of a narcissist, is to destroy that person the inside out. So they're gonna wear that person down from the inside as well as the outside, because that person won't look the same, and they won't even look appealing to other women because of that person, because they're going to stress that person completely out. So, and I think that's why I feel like it's more, being a narcissist is more spiritual anyway, because you're wearing that person down, you're wearing their spirit down until the point where they have no more energy left to give to themselves, much less anybody else. So, and that's really the goal of a narcissist.
It is. It's very spiritual. They get their strength from the energy that they draw. They target a person that is very positive. And they just pull and pull and pull and break them until there is nothing left. There's nothing positive that they do that is natural. They're always doing something to get something from you. It's never just to make you feel a certain kind of way, feel good. It's always something hidden behind it. And it will always be something hidden behind her actions towards Will and the things that she does in life, because she feeds off of that. It makes her feel like she's on top of the world. Yeah, he'll do any damn thing I want. And she knows that their relationship, as far as him leaving her, he's never going to leave her. It has to be something that will literally tear his guts out in order for him to leave her. So she's going to continue to be her and do the things that she does, and he's going to continue to react to everything that she does. It's not going to change. It's sad, but it's true.
Well, I just got something in the back channel, and that someone said that literally this is what they're going through. The narcissist in their life spends all of their time trying to figure out how to wear them down, and that they're being worn down. Like, the narcissist won't even let them, like, won't let them rest, won't let them be. Like, it's either yelling at them or yelling at the top of their lungs or literally, like, disturbing them when they're sleeping, waking them up in the middle of the night, bothering them, you know, just to keep messing with them as much as they can, you know? So, I mean, like, I think if we're talking about narcissists, we can see that, like literally, like, had I known, like, the funny thing that I see things is that my personal admission is that, you know, Daoud said that Will was chasing the love of his grandmother and stuff like that. I think that because of our parental units, like Mother Dragon said, they can learn it. It comes to the family or certain things. It's disguised as things, disguised the culture or something like that. I realized that with my ex, her narcissism was really, really bad, and she was super manipulative. And the funny thing was, like, I had to learn how she lied. Like, I didn't know how she lied. I had to learn what was the thing she did to lie. And so literally I had to figure it out because she would keep me so off balance, you know. But she was the same type of person that she would see me walking on the street, knowing I was headed home, and she'd drive right by me.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that all the time. You know, all the time. Mm-hmm. Like when I think about some of the crazy shit I've got, I was like, that shit was crazy. Like literally, like, would just drive by me like I didn't exist. And then ask me where I was. Where were you? He just drove by. It's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. But as far as that's concerned, because we look at all the different things and we're trying to figure out what it is when we're considering these things that are happening. So I hate when the music runs out and I'll be forgetting about it. Where else have we seen this behavior, and also everything else that's going on, like, with this in particular? Anybody want to weigh in?
Well, shit, my husband used to torture the fuck out of me. If he couldn't get the attention that he wanted, he literally called his people from down south, his female cousins, they were supposed to tighten me up. And they told me when they got up here, you know, we need to have a talk. And I'm like, okay, we can have this talk, but I don't know what you think I'm going to be doing when y'all trying to lay hands on me. Okay, I'm not going to be sitting here taking this shit. But we talked. The thing with narcissists, you have to get the people that believe them to yourself so they can really know who you are, and that then they can start to see through the game that's being played, the bullshit. Because my husband played victim all the time. I told y'all he played Russian roulette right in front of me. He literally put a bullet. He used to own this 38 revolver, long nose. And because he couldn't get his way, he put one bullet in there and kept spinning the barrel and would pull the trigger at his head. I mean, just all kinds of crazy shit. After I had my son, my first son in the hospital, he whispered in my ear, is that really my son? I'm like, what the fuck is wrong? You know, when I was losing my eyesight, he came to the hospital. They had to do a spinal tap on me. And he leans in and whispers in my ear. I could have swore it was Ike Turner there because he said, are you sure you're not doing this just to get attention? And I was literally going blind. They had to find out what was going on with me. Like, I wanted that 12-inch needle stuck up in my spinal cord, right? It's just, it's craziness, man. I'm trying to, I got stories for days for y'all. I'm trying to tell you. Crazy shit. But you do. The key is... you can't just escape a narcissist being around them. You have to totally, like, leave their presence for good. And like I said, get the people that they have manipulated into believing that the bullshit, they're being abused, you got to get them to yourself, and they got to get to know you, and then they'll see. The eyes will be open, because if not, everyone will constantly be against you, just like Amber Heard is doing to Johnny. The thing with Johnny is she didn't just start this shit. It has been going on from the beginning with her.
Right.
It's just that he thought it was cute and funny in the beginning with her toxic behavior. Oh, she's just a little crazy. You know, she just gets like that sometimes. We have a tendency to ignore the red flags when we're entertained, when we find it cute in the beginning. But the thing was, it didn't stop. He realized after a certain period of time that it was some real shit. But by then, he was stuck because the manipulation had gotten just that bad. Narcissists are master manipulators. It doesn't make them intelligent. It just makes them really good at manipulating people. I don't think she's going to win. I know we're not getting into this, whether or not she's going to come out on top. Although society has always looked on the woman's side, I don't think she's going to win this thing because it's too many times that, see, what she messed up as, she started recording everything, trying to make it seem like, you know, he's the bad guy. But what's also being recorded is her bullshit.
Right.
So eventually it's going to turn in his favor. It really is. But Johnny's, he's tired. He is sick. He's tired now. And just like Will, he needs help. He needs to go stay somewhere. He needs some help now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Real quick, just throw this in here. Because it just came in. Black China.
Oh,
right.
God.
Did everyone see the thing that she was complaining about losing her car? And then, you know, that she had fathers of her children that weren't willing to help her. And then it turned to find out that basically between Tiger and Rob Kardashian, like she only has her child like 2 days a week.
Yeah, she only has her son on Sundays, and she has her daughter on Sundays and part of the day on Monday. Otherwise, she doesn't have the kids. They provide everything for the children. They make sure the children go where they need to be and make sure that they're in school and all this kind of thing. And she comes out with this, my baby daddies ain't helping. When, for real, they have the kids, so they don't need to help you. They're doing their part.
Well, she's always been a little gold digger.
I saw a comment from a young man that said that he, you know, finding a mentally unstable woman was top tier. And this right here proves that, you know, there are young men out here that's looking for women that are damaged. So they think that they can fix them. And here is a woman who is class A, like a manipulator, and who's used her body and her private parts to basically control, you know, these men. But now that they're not with them, you know, she's not mother material. I mean, that's already been proven. And I think she has other children, you know, too, as well. So who knows where those children are with, but, you know, they look for damaged women. And so the damaged woman looks good until she can't take care of a kid, until she has these emotional outbursts, until she puts her business out in the street. And then that's when, oh, you know what? But then that's when they get down on those type of women, but you were looking for that from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Fellas, do you have anything to say about that?
I mean, I think at some point we've all experienced unhealthy relationships. And for me, I know that I've experienced unhealthy relationships, primarily as a function of lack of knowledge of myself and, you know, my worth and level of deserving as a
just as a human being, and that has, you know, put me in positions to, you know, be taken advantage of, and those were distasteful experiences. I'm fortunate that I have not been in a relationship to this degree of toxicity. Toxicity existed in my relationships, but nothing close to what this woman, you know, has done to Johnny Depp. For that, I am grateful. I know that it's real, and moving forward, I know that I will absolutely never allow myself to be in any kind of dynamic with any woman, you know, who displays even a modicum of the toxicity that she demonstrates. As soon as I see it, I'm gonna address it, and if it doesn't get, you know, properly handled, I'm out, because I love myself too much. So we not going there.
Key phrase: love yourself too much. That's the key phrase on that. Go ahead. Someone was gonna go. I wasn't looking, because I was trying to get in this back channel real quick. Sorry, I'm trying to read what just came through. So I'm sorry. This thing is not loading. It's not loading for some certain reason. Anyway, so real quick, fast and hurry. Right. So, in your basic opinion, what do you consider? We're not going on chats. What do you consider to be toxic in a relationship? So let's start at the top, because Wendell just went, so we're gonna come back around. We're gonna go actually, because we haven't heard from Zarina, so we'll go that way. We'll go up. Zarina, what do you consider to be toxic in a relationship?
I think it's toxic in a relationship when a person decides, one of the main things that I've experienced is a person deciding that they no longer want to grow. They're stuck in a place that is in the past, and they keep bringing that up and using it against you, or using things like being passive aggressive, using your past against you, or, you know, always antagonizing and criticizing you. A person who uses your weaknesses against you on a constant basis and doesn't really support you in any of the things that you're doing, but wants your full and undivided support and attention. Those are things that I've experienced.
Oh. Okay. And let's go up to Dawood. Dawood, you there?
Yeah. I'm sorry. What's the question again, bro? What is the...
I said, what do you consider to be toxic in a relationship?
What do I consider to be toxic in a relationship? Essentially, the only thing that's really toxic, which means that it's something that's unintentional, is when you're not who you portray yourself to be. That's the only thing that I see as toxic. Everything else, I think, is a byproduct of our interaction and the chemistry that we made, whether it was good or bad. I think that sometimes we blame the outcome of the chemistry on somebody being negative or toxic, when in just reality, the mix that we made together was not a good mix. And this is the result of it. I do this, you do that. And then you mess around and see somebody with somebody else, and they don't do those things. And you're saying, oh, well, then that means that they intentionally meant to do it to me. No, it's not that. It's just that me interacting with you caused me to act a certain way, caused you to act a certain way. We held on to it way too long, and when we finally decided to disconnect from each other, we can now go back to being ourselves. But if I portrayed myself to be somebody that I really wasn't, and then you have to find out either by accident or by somebody else or something like that, that to me is the toxic behavior. Because that can't be fixed.
Wow.
Okay.
Perspective.
What'd you say, Zwin?
I said that's some perspective.
Wow. All right, so I'm going to go to Mother of Dragons. What do you consider to be toxic?
A person who is just a habitual, a repeat offender when it comes to their ways. You know, a person who's controlling, a person that feels like they have to dominate in the relationship, a person who feels as though they have to always grandstand themselves, make themselves to be bigger than what they are, than what they really are. And obviously, you know, has been hurt, because hurt people hurt people. So, you know, they've been hurt to the point where they can't see that through their own propaganda that they are the problem and so forth. And that's usually what a narcissist is. They won't acknowledge that they're narcissistic, not unless it's been pointed out. And even then, they will probably blame you for their own behavior. So it's just a person who really does not want to look in the mirror and break down the problems within their own self, and they take it out on people they feel like might be either acceptable to that behavior or may not know how to create boundaries to tell that person, look, you can't do this to me anymore. So, and that's it.
Okay. Let's go over to Lisa Lips. What do you consider to be toxic in a relationship?
In my experience, when something starts out to be too good too fast, usually you're dealing with someone who's going to manipulate and try to bend things in their direction. And so I tend to, now when I see too many good traits in the beginning when we don't really know each other, I get a little apprehensive and hold back a little bit because I'm not sure where you're going with it. And then when I start to see the worm turns, and I try to excuse myself from the situation before I get caught in the web, because I've been caught before and I'm not trying to go back.
Oh, okay. So we're going to go from you, Lisa Lips, to Dan. What do you consider to be toxic in a relationship?
I consider physical, mental, verbal abuse from the other party, and then in the same breath that those things are occurring, you're asking for forgiveness, or you didn't mean it, or I love you, and it's just a repeated cycle. And then using yourself, your body, your female wits and charms to try to make me forget about the things that you had done or what had just happened. And that's, to me, that's toxic. You know, I hear everyone's responses, and, you know, I agree with a lot of what's already been said, but to willfully abuse someone and knowing that you're doing it, and then laugh and joke about it, and then ask for forgiveness or make a mockery of it. That's toxic. And, you know, I've been on the end of that. So, yeah. Yeah, that's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everything that everyone said, but on my part, what I've experienced, being in a relationship with someone that must have control and allowing them to have it. That's pretty much it. And because everything comes along with that manipulation, mental, physical, verbal, not physical in that relationship, but the verbal and the mental abuse, breaking you down and then turning around and apologizing with your blanket and, you know, nice behavior and the love making and the makeup sex and all that good stuff, and then turn around and embarrassing you, just belittling you in public later on to, you know, in a smug way too, like, I'm proud to treat her this way because, you know, she listens to me. Shit like that. You know, everything.
Wow. And then I'm going to go to Wendell before I play. I'm going to play this thing that I got from YouTube. I got from Ayanla, Fix My Life. Wendell, what's toxic to you?
Anything that would serve to overinflate one person's value or significance and undervalue the other person's significance. You know, trying to diminish another person in order to make yourself, you know, feel bigger, better, more valuable. That's toxic. That's about as simple as I can give it. Because everything else can be nuanced and things like that. But that's what it boils down to for me.
Wow. The time that I found out I was in a toxic relationship is when I tried to go someplace in my own car, and my car wouldn't start. And I didn't know what was wrong with it. Had no idea. Like, I was like, wait a second, you know. Like, an hour ago, I just drove this joint. Now it's not working. And I tried to take my car. And literally, not only did my car not work, the next day, it was on the next block. So I knew somebody drove to the next spot. And then when I tried to find out what happened, I found out that she had taken out the carburetor because she didn't want me to take the car anywhere or go anywhere with my own car.
Oh, God.
What?
Wow.
Wow.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that was only the beginning, because there was a bunch of shenanigans that happened, but I was, like, ignoring a lot of the stuff. But that was, like, a clear-cut understanding of what it was, you know, things were doing something that was toxic. It was, like, incredibly nuts, and I didn't have anything to say. But I'm going to see if this works out. I'm going to try this for the first time, see if it works. But I'm going to play this clip, because a lot of times we learn we get it from our mothers and things of that sort. So I'm not just trying to implicate myself. There's a lot of things that my mother has done that made me want to seek someone to try, like as Mother of Dragons say, find someone who was sort of like my mother that I wanted to fix. But just tell me if this is loud and you can hear it. Hold on.
In his space that I know he's going to allow a man to abuse a woman in his presence.
She doesn't think about it that way.
Well, because I didn't know him playing basketball and going on dates together.
So what? Mind your business. You say that you don't see the man that your son is, so I'm asking you, since this is not a demonstration of a man, you need to tell me what man you're using to measure him with. Which one?
My idea.
Which is your idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that the idea you trained him up to be?
No.
Oh. So how in the blazing bejesus are you holding him accountable to a standard that that you didn't teach him, his father didn't give him, he don't even know what it is, and yet as his mother, you sit in his face and tell him you don't respect him as a man. Tell me how that works. Help me.
Like I said, it's in, it was events. It wasn't just, I'm not talking, I'm talking about
and also how he treats you.
Yeah, but look at that. Hello. You see, you are a provocative victim. You provoke stuff. And then when you start being held accountable for it, then you start twisting and turning and making the other person wrong. Look at me, Mom. Look at me. Look at me. You just sat here and told your son, we ain't got a needle in his arm. I'm assuming Pace's own man. He's married to a registered nurse. He's got three baby boys. And you just sat here in his face and said, I don't respect him as a man. Mm-hmm. And you don't think to consider what that does to his heart, to his soul, to his spirit.
I'm sure that's hurtful.
And you okay with that?
And it's hurtful for the things that he said.
There you go. You're doing it. You're doing it right now. You're doing it right now. I'm like, holding you accountable, and you're spinning. You're spinning your web. You're trying to get away.
Doing it,
you're trying to get away. Tell me. Just here's the question. Just answer it. We'll get back to that other stuff later.
Forgive me. I respect him. He's a wonderful man.
Do you understand that your mouth, your voice, your words are connected to the coils in his heart, to the vows in his heart? He can't help but love you. And every time you dishonor that love, you chip a piece of him. This is why in our culture as black people, when the boys turn a certain age, the men come and get him and take him away from the mother because she can emotionally manipulate him. But since we don't live in our culture no more, we say what we want to say, do what we want to say. We tear our men down and then wonder why they don't make good husbands and fathers. Mothers destroy sons. His mother can speak to him in certain ways and destroy him in ways that can never be repaired.
So, what did y'all think of that segment?
Ileana is right.
I actually didn't see that show. Yeah.
I didn't see it. I don't watch her, but that woman that she was talking to, she was right. The woman didn't want to hear what she was doing wrong. She didn't want to repair what was wrong. She just wanted to keep it one-sided because that's just her thing, you know. I'm not going to fix him. And then she turns around and contradicts herself and says, I think he's a wonderful man and this and this and that. Well, why are you treating him like that? Why are you trying to break this man? Some women feel like that makes them look like more of a woman when they try and break a man. And it's so wrong. It's so bad. And it does take not just a counselor, but sometimes it takes another woman, a real woman, to make her see that, to say these things to her, to open up her eyes and say, well, damn, you know what, maybe she's right. But I'm going to give her hell all the way, even though she's right, because I can't be proven wrong. Some of them women, you can't fix it. You can't make them see that you're wrong.
This was her son. So you're emasculating your son, and you're comparing and that's problematic too, because she put him in a role as her husband or her helpmate, and that's not his position. She should have treated him as her son. And not only that, she's comparing him to what other men had done to her in previous relationships to damage her. So, you know, it's almost like a backhanded compliment that people, you know, she says he can be a good man, but then she won't relinquish her control over him for him to be so. You know, so that in itself shows that first of all, not all women are perfect, you know, and she's proven she's not, she's that 1%, you know what I'm saying? But not mm-hmm. only that, it was a history of trauma for her to cause her to openly abuse, and basically I feel like it's a form of neglect to her son, mm-hmm. to hold him responsible for everything that she went through. It's just wrong.
Mm-hmm. It is wrong.
Okay. Definitely. Gentlemen, do you want to weigh in on it? Let me go to Van first.
You know, one of the things that she said was that mothers destroy sons. Right? And then she talked about going back to the fathers coming to take the sons when they get a certain age. I have custody of my 13-year-old son. And his mother doesn't have a relationship with him. She doesn't call him. She doesn't check on him. It's almost like, to me, she doesn't want to deal with him until it's her time to get him for the weekend. And she has custody of our daughter, whom is ready to come live with me at the drop of a dime. Toxic women, toxic mothers destroy their sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to let my son's toxic mother destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen, and I'm kind of heartbroken that we've actually come to a position where she would put her son seeming in a husband role. And there are a lot of single women that do that to their sons.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor got 3 sons, and she's ready to stop working because her one son is can get a job. I'm like, at what point did you stop being his provider?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to force mm-hmm. that upon him, and he's only 16?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is heartbreaking. And it is an ever-present, everyday reality within our society, within the Black culture.
Mm-hmm.
Let me hear from Wendell, and then I'm gonna come to Dawood, and then I'm gonna go to you, Selena.
Okay. Yeah, there's not really too much I can say on top of that. Again, it's the whole seeing a man, a boy, a male, as a function as opposed to being a human is so terrible. You know, listening to that, you know, to that clip. You know, whatever image she has of what a man should be, whatever idealized fantasy that she's concocted in her imagination, she's projecting that onto him, which is wrong in and of itself. But then not even saying, you know what, this is the type of man that I want to raise you to be, that I hope that you have become. This is the type of man that I want you to be, is someone that I want you to see what that image looks like, so you can have something to model. It's so bad to hold someone to a standard and a level that you haven't even communicated. But I think that is something that happens in relationships. There are these unspoken expectations and ideals
that we have that we want another person to instinctively live up to simply because they're with you. And that by somehow by osmosis or by telepathy, the information that is in your head is supposed to be beamed directly over to them, and they're supposed to be able to take that and internalize it and apply it and act it out in order to be for you something that you don't have the capacity and the tools to communicate. It's the catch-22. It's the self-sabotage. It is damaging, you know, belittling. It is not seeing the other person as a human being, and that's what she did to her son. And then when confronted with the folly of her ways, still trying to find a way to make herself right. I mean, that's therein is the end in sign language, the need to be right. I know that's it's how he treated me. No, you haven't taught him. You haven't given him anything to model after, but you're holding him to a standard, and you think that you're justified in doing it. It's gaslighting on steroids.
It's amazing. of the highest level. Dawood. Dawood, are you there? Oh, he dropped. Oh, that sucks. So I guess we're going to go to you, Suena.
Yeah, it's 11:05. I don't know if the white lady kicked him off yet.
he dropped. He dropped. Matter of fact, we dropped a few callers right off the top, so that's what happened. So, Zuina, are you still there?
Yeah, the Blog Talk lady.
She might not be here. Anyway, we'll just go. All right.
Oh,
so
I'm here. I'm sorry. I was on mute. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
I'm so sorry. No, the only thing I was going to say is from listening to that clip, I can relate to it because I grew up in a situation where I saw a lot of single, quote-unquote, strong black women raising houses full of boys under an imaginary idea of what a man is supposed to be because they didn't grow up with, you know, fathers in the household, and they didn't raise them with men in the household. So the image that they raised them to is the idea of who, you know, they would probably want to marry. And I know that is toxic in and of itself, but it's a very prevalent thing. But, you know, and I grew up around a lot of, you know, like I grew up with my aunt. My aunt had 9 children, and she lost her husband when they were really young. And I had 3 other aunts who also had large families with no fathers in the household. And I grew up in the projects where there were a lot of other women because, you know, women there that didn't have men in the household. And so raising their sons, it was like they're raising them to an image. There is no real – everything is an ideal because what do you – what is the standard when you've never had the standard? And I think that sounds like what might have been happening in that clip. Like, I can't imagine that there could have been a father around. It didn't sound like it was. So the woman was probably raising the boy alone and raising him under that misguided idea of what that was supposed to be.
Oh. Wow. Lips.
Yeah, I did see that episode, and she had this ideal in her head of what she wanted him to be, and he was a more gentle spirit than she thought that he was not, masculine enough because he was more of an artistic, quiet type of a guy. So she saw that as weakness, and so she manipulated him to push him into being a different person than what she thought he should be. Yeah, because she felt like he was weak, and that was her idea of how to make him strong, but instead it just made him fold more into himself because he felt like he was inadequate. And then when upon meeting his wife and her being able to understand him, he realized that his relationship with his mother had been so toxic, because sometimes we are caught in these situations and we are not aware of the toxicity until we step away from it, because it's all we've ever known. Being in a relationship with a parent who's toxic, your parent is all you know, so you don't see them as toxic. You see them as the parent. And until you find a different way, you don't know that what you've been dealing with is toxicity. And so this young man had set up this whole thing because he wanted a better relationship with his mother, because she pretty much felt like he had replaced her when he got married. And so she just tried to make him feel as bad as she could manage, because that was how she controlled him before. And when it wasn't working, she felt like she had lost everything. So, you know, it was a lot of layers to that situation, but that young man really just wanted peace, because her way of treating him pissed off his wife, which made his wife not want his mother around, and then he was caught in the middle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a terrible situation, and I don't understand these women who treat their sons in a way that they create a man that they wouldn't themselves want, but then get dissatisfied with the fact that he didn't turn out to be the man in your mind you thought he should be. But you didn't give him anything to base that on. He had no grounds on which to become the man that you in your head wanted him to be, because you manipulated him to the point where the things you were saying were incongruous with themselves. So he didn't know which way to turn.
Oh. Wow. I remember my son, and I brought this up before. His mother said, "I'm more man than your father, and I'm going to teach you how to be a man."
Woo!
And that in itself is my son. Yes, my son had to examine that, and he heard that because his mother really felt that she could say that in earnest and really get that across. There were many different things that she did, you know, on the way. And this is not to indict her or put her in a court of public opinion, even though I am currently at this moment. But there are many different things that she did to try to control the situation with him. For him, I am proud. He's got 7 A's and a B, and he's going into his third year of med school. I cannot be any more prouder, and to know that his achievements are his own. But I know that he has to limit his interactions with his mother, because he tells me. Because there was a point where when he was younger, he was allowed to do things that would only stop his future. And I realized that any time that it came down to him, like when he chose me, I decided to fight all hands and all feet at all times. But when he was with his mother would do things like allow his girlfriend to sleep over in the same bed as him, and he was only 16. What do you think happens? And she was steadily trying to get a grandchild or to limit where or how or anything else that was going on, because the investment into making sure that he would secure his future, like, I see nothing wrong with the military, but if I know that my son is smart enough to do it without the military, he doesn't need the military. You know, if you're really smart, you go into the military with a plan, right? But when you're young and then you have somebody who's trying to recruit your son talking crazy to you about your own son, I said, listen, my son is more than a bonus. You know, and his mother's like, why are you trying to stop his dream? I say, it's not a dream for him. It's a dream for you. It's all the stuff that you want for you. And even to the point that
you know, when he was an undergrad, it used to make me crazy that she would borrow money from him. And I'm like, who's the parent? Who's this? You know, to the point that we had this whole big conflagration because she literally didn't want me to come to the graduation unless I came by myself because she was trying to alter and do all these different things. And like literally, if I showed you, like, just like this could be a book for all the stuff that she wrote because the craziness that that ensued, the toxic of it, to the point that my particular branch of kids, they have an older brother. They've disowned him. They choose not to interact with him for several reasons which we shall not speak of here. She keeps doing stuff where she surprises my son. Like, it's almost like they keep jumping him into trying to be like a whole thing because she wants all her kids. And it's like he goes and he's like, he keeps trying to talk to me and I have nothing to say to him. I don't have, there's nothing that he can talk to me about. But he keeps trying. And I'm like, I understand where he's coming from, but his mother keeps doing certain things. Like, she's trying to control the narrative, trying to do certain things that are going on. And when you have people who are that toxic, when they do, they start to say, well, what is with sons? Now, for me personally, and I'll say this, my mother missed a whole part of her history for me. I didn't discover it until I went to my brother's. And then I came to find out that there was so much more to it than I was even expecting because things fold out. And I realized that some of the things that my mother did that were seriously toxic, that really affected the way that I perceived of women, how I thought about women, and what those things were because of how she was. And I had always been trying to find someone so I could save my mother and them. And that's how I ended up with my ex. And then because of my childhood, I decided to not give up when I should have let go. When you have flashbacks of memories of you going to get your father from his mistress's house and your mother's basically threatened to crash the car and to do all these crazy things, and you just want to be with your mother, so you don't get out of the car. That's crazy. That's nuts. Mm. You've imprinted upon a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a memory that he has to carry for the rest of his life of him thinking that this is what love means, that if you can't have your way, you'll hurt yourself. And so the toxic femininity, the malignant narcissism, the things that happen can affect when women treat their sons a certain way. You know, and literally my son, between my son and my daughter, my son came with me. My son easily became much more successful than his sister. Thank God that she's catching up. She's doing her accounting. That girl knows numbers. I watch her go. I watch her do class. It bugged me out how good she was. But I had to wait, repair, rebuild, you know, rehome, re-love. I had to do all of it, renew, you know. I had to do everything with it to the point that now she's like, Dad, here's the problem. Here's what this is. Here's my feelings. And I had to work hard for that. But a lot of bad habits that she got from her mother, she would argue with me about stuff that had nothing to do with it. I'm like, that's your mother's problem. She's like, well, Mom's so hurt behind it. And I was like, but that's not your job. Your mother's affecting the way that you see things, the way that you think about things. And we don't want to repeat this cycle. We don't want to carry that generational curse. We want to be done with that. And to see that certain women, like we see it, where, you know, they make their sons the men of the household. Literally today, someone I know said, yeah, my son is the head of this house, is the man of this house. And I was like, why? Why is he the man of that household? Now, I'm going to take my hands up off it. Somehow, this is probably going to travel to the wrong ears, but why? Why is it? You know, well, with that being said, all these confessions happening, I want to thank you guys for coming out to another installment of the War Council. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Yay.
Anybody still there?
Yay.
All right. I want to thank everybody for coming through and rocking out with us. do anything. It is a school night. I'm actually over my time. But Mr. Van Meadows, can you tell us what's happening on the Pimpy Radio Universe for the rest of the week?
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow night for the Love Zone with Ms. VIP and La Perla Negra. Thursday night is a get down with your special host, Anonymity, guest hosting and BJ Rob, the wise son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night is open at the moment, but Saturday night, y'all, is Poetic Therapy with La Perla Negra and Stan the Man Phillips. Then Sunday night is the Inspiration Factory with Divine Inspiration, a.k.a. Paul Sampson, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night, y'all, is King and Queen's Quarters with Queen Simmons and King Atterbury. And we'll be right back here next Tuesday for, I believe, Fly Speak. Right, Mojave?
Hell, mother... Yeah. Oh, this Fly Speak is going to be nutty. Yo, I'm overexcited because I'm loading up. I don't care what nobody tells me. I'm loading up all the guns with all the bullets and we going to shoot them. I got some super dope people coming through. I love bringing people to the network. I love having people come on here and do some things, some amazing poets. I love for them to get to know y'all, and y'all get to know them, and it's going to be ridiculous. But May is a special month because May, number one, is my birthday month. All right, so let's talk about that. And Flash Week is the week of my birthday, so it's going to be a birthday celebration, and I'm throwing everything but the kitchen sink up against the wall, and we're going to see what sticks. More importantly, we got Flash Week. We got the interview with Jessica Holter from the Punani Poets coming here to Official Radio Universe on the 17th. Then we're doing the Honey Dripper 2.0, of course, Kiss, and we're going to throw we doing it for the ladies. You ladies are going to talk to these fellas. That's what's going to go on. We just going to make it bad for everybody all around. And then we're going to do the super-duper incredible – Yeah. Oh no. The tenth is another war council. We gonna work that out for you. 17th. What you call it? Cause I skipped over that. 24th. That's a Honey Dripper. And the last one I forgot. It's something supposed to be special. The first project. We'll figure it out. It's gonna be fun. Make sure you tune in. It's gonna be good stuff. What happened? What did somebody say? Somebody say something? All right, well, listen, I'd like to thank Wendell, Danielle, Van, Lisa Lips, Mother of Dragons, Dawood, Edwina, Anonymity, because I can't say the name, and don't make fun of me, J-Rob, who's in the background, and, of course, big author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet, because this is a For Real Entertainment Network, in case you didn't know. Thank you for coming out to War Council. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for listening to us. Catch us on the replay. Come back on the email. If you have any other suggestions, hit me in the back channel or my email. Text me if you got my number. If you don't, because I think you're a stalker. I want to thank everybody for coming out. God bless you. Be safe. Love you guys. Thank you. All right. And this podcast will self-destruct in 10, 9, 8.
Good night, everybody.
Great show, guys.
Good night, Joe.
5.
Good night.
4. 3.
Good night.
2. 1.